This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share. You alone are my
song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you, Jesus. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one that could ever say, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you.
Beside you, open up our eyes
there is none beside you. Open up our eyes in wonder, show us who you are and fill us with your heart and lead us to
show us, Father. Show us again this afternoon what is on your heart. And lead us, Father. That we also can come this afternoon that we want to be led, Father. That we're not going our own way. That we're going where you want us to go, Father. Father, I pray that the words what you're going to speak to us this afternoon are going to be words which we need, Father. Where you want to speak to us about what is on your heart. And Father, we come with an expectation that we want to hear from you. And yes, there may be things in our head from what happened earlier today or this week which are keeping us busy. But we put them one side. We bind them in the name of Jesus Christ. They are not going to take our attention this afternoon, Father, because we've got a meeting with you. We want to hear from you what is on your heart. And thank you, Father, that we can come with an expectation. Because you're so great and so awesome, you never disappoint us. You always have got something new for us. And we always can stand in awe that you want to be our Father forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen. As we were worshiping, I felt that the Lord has been speaking to somebody during worship and that God has given you a message which you've got to share with the whole congregation. It's not a testimony of something what happened this week. It's what happened just now in worship, that God spoke to you, that God wants you to share with the congregation.
So while worshiping, I felt really God's presence and peace and love. But I'm weak. This week I had some troubles and I'm weak, and I still, my thoughts during the worship were still flying around different topics, and I was thinking different topics, different people. But still, I was feeling God's mercy, God's love, God's joy, and I was like, yeah, okay, it's so nice, it's so good, and my thoughts again was flying. And I was like, okay, I closed my eyes, I was like, stop thinking of anything, and suddenly I saw the source of joy and peace and like all the goodness, and it was like a tube up there, but it was like a tube with light and smoke, and while we were praying, it's like we were like adding to that smoke, and I was like, whoa, it's so nice. I had to close my eyes and see this earlier because it was beautiful. It was beautiful, but I saw it as a source of peace and love and joy and a blessing from God to us. So that was I wanted to share.
Thanks a lot, Simeon. God wants to speak to us today about seeking his face, seek my face. When we are speaking to each other, it's happening many times that we have got mistakes, that we've got misunderstandings. A person is giving you a certain message and you receive it, but you do not receive it because you do not really get the content, what is in that message, and then you've got a misunderstanding. Typically, when we're writing an image and something to each other, if we're sending a message by email or we're sending a WhatsApp, how many times isn't it that there's a misunderstanding? Agree? Yes, I think most of us are agreeing with that. So it's very necessary that we must speak to the person face to face. It happens now and then in our house as well, that if I'm busy with the sink and I've got my two big ears facing the water, and I've got a tap open, that if Renee is speaking from to me from the bedroom, I'm not getting the message. Then I've got to close the tap, I've got to go around, turn around, I've got to walk to her and see her face to face and say, "My wife, what do you want to say to me?" And then I can understand. Then it's eliminating all the mistakes, all the misunderstandings. It doesn't exist anymore, because now I can understand what she says. Through my reactions, he can also see if it is the correct reaction what I'm giving, am I getting the right message or not. And God is exactly the same. God has also sent us a long email, the Bible, and we battle a little bit to understand it. We battle it to interpret it. Unfortunately, take a look at the amount of churches what we've got. How we are interpreting the Bible. How are we explaining it? I'm not saying that what I'm doing over here is correct. I'm not saying that Shofar Utrecht is correct. We always try to do as good as possible. We still make mistakes. But what God wants to speak to us about this afternoon is that we should seek his face. That we shouldn't only read the Bible, but that we should speak to him face to face. That we should communicate with him. Because if we look in God's face, then we can receive the message, we can interpret it, and we can communicate. So this is where we're going to speak this afternoon a little bit about. I'm first going to go a few questions, and then I'm going to give you answers on those questions as well. And then the first one is, what does it mean to seek his face? That could be that you say, okay, is God lost that we've got to seek him? No, God is not lost. He knows where he is, and he knows exactly what he is doing, and God has a plan, and he's got a plan with us as well. But we can only seek God, and we can only look for God, if we know who God is. Because if my wife has lost something, and I don't know what it is, I cannot help searching, because I don't know where I've got to look for. But we've got to seek for God, we've got to look for God, and we can only look for God if we know who God is. If we do not know who God is, we actually cannot look for him, we cannot seek his face. And if we really want to know of what it means to seek God's face, we've got to go to the Bible. And I'm going to quickly go through a few scriptures. The first one is 2 Chronicles 7 verses 14. God is speaking to Solomon, and he's speaking to him in the night, and he's telling him that he has got to humble himself, he's got to pray, he's got to seek, and he has got to turn. So the seek is part of that. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and heal their heart. I'm going to have a look this afternoon also at a few times at the Greek and the Hebrew of it, because that's going to help us to explain how we've got to seek God's face. And the word seek over there is the Hebrew word baukash, and it means that we're going to seek for it. You're really searching for it. So it's not something where you just quickly browse over it, but you're really looking for it. You're really seeking. You're searching for it. And then what it says, my face... And the face is in Hebrew word paunim. But then the beautiful thing of it is that word face has got actually two meanings. It is face, plus it also means presence. So if we're going to have a look at Exodus 33 verses 14 and 15, where Moses and God are speaking to each other, and then it is he said, and the he is then God. And God says, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And then he said to him, if your presence, that's then Moses speaking back to God, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. It's the same word, paunim. In the one scripture is used, and it says face, and in the other one it says presence. It's exactly the same meaning. It's exactly the same word. David was also seeking God's face. he was also seeking God's presence. Psalm 27, verse 8. And when you said, seek my face, and this is where God is addressing, not only one person, he's addressing all the people. Seek my face. And then David is responding, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, your presence, Lord, I will seek. This is what's important for David. In the New Testament, we've got in Hebrews, we also have got a verse where it is talking about that we've got to seek him. It's a part where first it was talking about Enoch, that Enoch was taken up because he pleased God. He didn't die, but he was taken up, and that because he was pleasing God. And then it says in verses 6 over there, but without faith, without the confidence, without the trust in God, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and now we're coming back again. So we must believe that God is there. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, who carefully seek him, who spend time to seek him. Again, in Hebrews, what we can see then as well, that they're talking about that we've got to seek him. And then the Hebrew word, which has been used over here, is exactly the same word what we saw earlier in Chronicles. That's that searching, that seeking, that continuously seeking for God. You must probably ask, but why do we have to seek for God's face? Are we God's children, not always in his presence? Why must we seek for him if we are always in his presence? I'm going to give two yes answers and I'm going to give one no answer. And hopefully that will help us a little bit explaining. Yes, God is omnipresent. He's always here. When we pray as well, we know that God is there. It's not first that we've got to make a meeting and then at a certain time slot we can pray to God because other times he's in other places in the world. No, he's always available. We can always speak to him. We always can pray to him. He's always available. And it's also that Jesus also said to his disciples when he left, and it's part of the covenant in Matthew 28, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So God is always with us. Okay, so those are the two yes questions. So God is omnipresent and the promise that God will always be with us. Is then God sometimes not with us? Yes. It is sometimes that God is not with us, that we've got to seek him. That we're not experiencing God's presence, that we're not experiencing that God is with us. Then he's not with us. Because it happens in our lives that we've got seasons where we are neglecting God. We do not think about him. We've got other things which are keeping our minds busy. God is then not present. He's not present in our frame of reference at that time. We're not seeking God's face. We're not seeking God's presence. We're not experiencing it. And it's nearly like a type of a veil, of a curtain is between us and God. And that curtain, it's full of selfish desires. Because our minds are busy with other things. We're thinking about work, we're thinking about study, we're thinking about what car I've got to drive, we're thinking about what girl I've got to date, we're thinking about the TV, we're thinking about the phone, the smartphone, we're thinking about social media, we're thinking about a lot of other things. But we're not thinking about God. And then is when God is absent. Then God is not in our lives. He's absent. He's there, but we're not allowing him. And God is asking us that we should seek him, that we should be in his presence, that we can enjoy it, that he is in our presence, that we are in his presence, that we can communicate with each other. How do we seek the face of God, and how do we seek the presence of God? Those who have got children must probably know it, that if you ask your children, you say, please go and have a look, I've lost something, or please go and have a look if something is there, they come back to you and they say, I couldn't find it. And then you say, but you're not searching correctly. I see the parents are smiling. And then we will tell the children, you don't know how to seek. And in order for us and to see God, we must know that he exists. We must know where he is. And if we do not believe that God would hear and answer our prayers, then there's no encouragement to seek his face. Which means we are not going to seek for God if we haven't experienced God before, because then we know where we're looking for. And of us who had the privilege when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, when you had that first connection with God, which was so precious, you want to continuously seek after that again. You want to look for that again, because that is the experience which you've got with God, and that's where you want to go back to again. The Bible is full of those verses which are saying that we've got to seek the face of God. And God loves to spend time with us, and we need time with him as well. We've got to do it. It's giving us joy, it's giving us pleasure, because then we know we're communicating with God. We can hear from God what God is telling us what we've got to do, and we can tell to God what is on our heart. And if God is telling us what to do and we're doing it, then it makes us content. We are satisfied. And then if we are satisfied and if we are content, we've got joy. We've got pleasure. Because we know where we are and what we're doing at that moment is what God wants us to do, because we heard it from him. We communicated with him. There are four things which we've got to have a look at and see which are necessary to seek God's face for us as Christians. And first of all, there must be a desire. There must be a hunger inside that we're going to seek for God. It mustn't be an obligation. There must be a desire which is coming from ourselves. And flowing out of that desire is that we're going to put in an effort. The effort is actually the shadow of the desire. If we've got a desire, then we're going to put in the effort that we're going to seek God's face, that we're going to seek God's presence. And then we're going to pray. Then we're going to start sending the message what we've got, we're sending it to God. And then the next one is that we're going to listen. We listen and we're open to receive from God. It is also with each and every time when you're going to spend time with God, if we prepare ourselves and we're open to listen, and the same coming to the sermon over here, if we prepare ourselves beforehand and if we say, Lord, if you speak to us, and we come with an open heart and we are ready to receive, then we can hear from God. And then God will share Bible verses with us. He will give us pictures or impressions. He will give us a vision. He will give us dreams. If we are prepared, if we are open for that, if we are ready to receive from him what he wants to share with us. And then once we've received from God what he wants us to do, like I said before, then we're doing what he wants us to do. And then it's joy. And then it gives us such a lot of satisfaction. And that's helping us to go through life. The next question, what does it mean to seek? What does it actually practical to mean? The Old and the New Testament, both of them are saying that we've got to put our mind and our heart on God. Totally. Whatever we are thinking and whatever we are feeling in our heart, it has got to be focused on God. And it's a conscious fixing of our focus and our mind's attention and our heart's affection on God. It's not just going to be for a short period. It's going to be continuous. 1 Chronicles 22 verses 19, it says, now set your mind and heart to seek. And then in brackets it says, inquire and require as your vital necessity. So it's a necessity. We must do it. It's vital. It's death or alive. We must seek his face. Now set your mind and heart to seek the Lord your God. Arise and build the sanctuary of the Lord God, so that the ark of the covenant of the Lord and the holy vessels of God may be brought into the house, built to the name and renown of God. David is commanding the leaders of Israel to help his son Solomon, and he says over there, set your mind and heart to seek the Lord your God. Focus on God. Be in communication. Be in the presence of God. In Colossians we read, if you then have been raised with Christ to a new life, to sharing his resurrection from the dead, aim and seek the rich the eternal, the treasures that are above, which Christ is, seated at the right hand of God, and set your minds and keep them set on what is above, the higher things, and not on the things which are on the earth. We've got to focus on God. We've got to put our hearts and our minds, we've got to put it on God, not on the things around us, but we've got to look up and we've got to focus on God. That is what God is asking when we're going to seek His face. A good example what we had of the person who could speak to God is Moses. Moses was speaking to God face to face. We can see it in Deuteronomy 34:10. But since there has not arisen in Israel a prophet like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Again, the same word, paunim, which means presence and face. So Moses was in the presence of God, and we knew it as well when he was coming down from the mountain that his face was glowing. He was absorbing what God was sharing with him. He was talking to God as what we are talking to a friend. We're talking to each other. We just now read it as well, that God was speaking to Moses and Moses was speaking to God. He's the best example what we can find in the Bible of one who was talking to God face to face. And there's something about being face to face, because face to face removes misinterpretation. We can imagine ourselves, if Moses was coming down the mountain, or if he received an WhatsApp or a message or an email from God, and he was taking the people of Israel, and he was taking them to the wrong country. He was taking them to Germany instead of to Israel, because he didn't get the right instructions. But he was sitting with God face to face. God was telling him exactly what to do. Take the people. He gave them the law. He told them to be the judge. He told them everything, how and what has got to be done, because he was in his presence, face to face. There was no place for misinterpretation. It didn't exist. When we're seeking God, it's a conscious choice. It's a choice what we've got to make. We've got to stand up and we've got to say, yes, I want to seek God the Father. I want to be in His presence. It's a choice what we've got to make. And it's conscious that we've got to do it. But there's always something through which, or which is around us, which is distracting us. And we must focus that. We must say, okay, that's not important. Spend time with God is more important than to be involved or to be distracted by other things around us. As Simeon just now also said, that there were things which was keeping his head busy, but he focused. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to say, those other things, I don't need them. I don't want them. We've got to direct our minds and hearts towards Him, towards God, and that we can receive what God wants to share with us. Because there are obstacles. There are obstacles which are between us and God, which makes it difficult for us to go to God and to hear from God. There are many obstacles. I'm only going to mention two. I'm not going to mention all of them, because I think then we can sit here for the rest of the week. The first one is pride. And this beautiful verse in Psalm 10, verse 4. In his pride, the wicked man does not seek him. All his thoughts, there's no room for God. In his pride. Pride was the reason why the devil has been sent out of heaven. And pride is a problem which we see many times in countries. And we see it many times in us as well. That we are not prepared because our pride is keeping us back. That we are not prepared to go to God and to go on our knees. To humble ourselves. Say, God, this is me. I don't have to stand. I can do it in all different ways, but I can go on to be humble. Throw the pride out of the window. Go on my knees and approach God. The next one is also that we should flee. And we should move away if there's anything which is distracting us, which is keeping us busy. Because those things which are keeping us busy, or putting that, like I said before, that curtain, that veil between us and God, and then we are taking a look, and we're continuously busy about, okay, what I'm busy with, study, with work, my wife, the kids, school, all those type of things, and we don't get time because we're busy with our mind somewhere else. Now, those two obstacles are exactly the same. We are our own problem. It's us who've got to decide. It's us who've got to drop our pride. It's us who's got to make that decision and say, I want to seek God. I want to seek His face. And like I said, I can mention all the others. I can mention them. And I'm afraid all of them are going to come back to exactly the same. It's us. God is not changing. God is always the same. He's waiting for us. He's like a father with his arms wide open. He's waiting for us to come, that we can communicate with him, that we can hear, and that we can share with him. Is it necessary to seek his face, to seek his presence? I'm going to do something strange now. I'm going to ask you to answer that question. Can I have the next slide, Ian? You're going to tell your neighbor if you think it's necessary to see God's face and to see God's presence. I'm giving you two options. The first is you're going to say to your neighbor, yes, it is necessary. We must seek God's face. We must seek his presence. And the other one is that you say, no, we don't need to seek God's face. It's just for the holy people. We don't need to seek his presence. I'm going to ask you, be bold. Turn around to the one next to you and tell them what you think. Is it the yes, we've got to seek God's face, or is it the no, we don't need to seek God's face? Right, I think most of you have said, yes, it is necessary to see God's face. I'm glad about it, because then we can carry on. If you said no, then I had to take you one side. I had to talk a little bit to you. Because the Bible is saying differently. The Bible is saying, seek, seek, seek his presence, seek his face. And that's God's plan. It's vital, it's essential, it's necessary that we've got to be in contact with God and that we've got to hear from him. With me, it's approximately 5-6 years back that I really started hearing God's voice and that I could communicate with God. The majority of my life, I did the religious things. I went to church. I read the Bible. I prayed. I put my shopping list to God and say, these are the ones in order of priority. Please attend to them as I've written them down, and so on. I did all the things, but I didn't communicate with God. And it only happened when I was prepared to spend time with God, when I opened up myself, when I prepared myself, when I consecrated myself, that I could hear God speaking to me and telling me what to do. That's the reason why we're here as well. And that's the reason why I'm speaking, for instance, today about seeking God's will. When we approach God, he's there. When we seek him, he's there. But we've got to seek him. We've got to spend time. We've got to set time apart to seek his face. And if there are other things which are keeping us busy, then we're missing out. God is always there. It's not like a doctor or a dentist, whatever, that you've got to make an appointment with God. No. You can take any day, any time. He's always available. He always wants to speak to us. When we see God's face and when we see God's presence, then we start to get in a right relationship with God. It's not only for the people of the Old Testament. It's for us, available each and every one, each and every day. And it makes it so much easier, because it helps you. It helped us with which car we had to buy. So the car that we're driving now is the car which God told us that we've got to drive. So I'm happy about it. I'm not comparing the car with any other car. I'm not complaining about the color. I'm not complaining about the fuel consumption, anything like that. This is the car which God gave to us. That's what we're using. And that's awesome, because it makes it so much easier. God tells us something to do, then you do it. You know, this is what God told you to do. And then you're happy. And you're satisfied. It's not that you're continuously wondering, shouldn't I have bought this one? Shouldn't I have done this one? Is God correctly? I think God is missing it over here because that car is much more cheap, or that one is actually the right color. No, God is telling you that we've got to be prepared to go to God and spend time with Him. And then He will tell us what is important and what He wants us to do. And when we're going to spend time with God, we're going to understand what is actually on His heart. And they say then, if you're going to spend time with God, our image is going to be exactly the same as His. We've got a proof of that of Moses. Because in our lives, it's a lot of times that we are thinking about, let's say, money. And then money is keeping us busy. We may be thinking about difficult things what we've got at work, and that is keeping us busy. We maybe have got that we are thinking about bad things, which makes us bitter and which makes us angry. But God wants us that we should experience the good things. The more time we spend with God, the more we actually get satisfied, the more joy we get out of it, because we know what God wants us to do. And I want to summarize it. And I want to summarize it first with a reminder and then with a promise. I just want to remind you, this is not an condemnation or anything like that. Just try to keep this one in your head for the rest of the week. If God is not first in our thoughts and efforts in the morning, He will be in the last place for the remainder of the day. If God is not first in my thoughts and in my efforts in the morning, God will be in the last place the remainder of the day. Please think a little bit about it this week and put God first. Think first about God when you start your day. And as a promise, God is promising a reward. Hebrews 11 verses 6, what we just now read already. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So God is rewarding us. He's the rewarder. And what is the reward that we're getting when we're seeking God? God. He is the reward. There's no bigger reward than that, than God. That the creator of heaven and earth, who made everything, who made that tree over there. And the Chinese, they can make a tree, but they can only make it a plastic tree. Because that tree, what they've got, will keep the leaves forever and ever. But that tree will drop the leaves at a certain time because it's made by God. And when we go through life and we see all these type of things, and we see God everywhere in the creation, what He's done and how awesome He is and how we can communicate with Him, how great God is, He is the reward that we can communicate with Him. He's the rewarder, but He's also the reward what we're getting. And that's a promise what I would like to give to you for this week. So if you're seeking God's face, you're going to get the best reward what you can get ever and ever, and that's God. Because you're going to be with God in heaven forever and ever. Please stand. Heavenly Father, we come to You. We actually have got to repent that we're not always seeking Your face, that we're not always seeking Your presence. There are other things in our lives which are keeping us busy. And today, Father, You're reminding us again that You're waiting for us. It's sometimes happening, Father, that if we've got an appointment with somebody, that we will receive a reminder just before that, where it says, please remember, You've got to come at that place and at that time. And You're sending a reminder to us this afternoon, Father, that You're waiting for us, that we should seek Your face, that we seek Your presence, that we can communicate with You face to face, that there's no misinterpretation, no misunderstanding, but that we can clearly hear from You what You want us that we should do in our lives. And Father, as we are standing over here, if there's maybe somebody who says, yes, you're talking about God, but I've never experienced God. I've never made that decision in my life to accept God as the creator of heaven and earth. I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I've never repented of my sins and thanked Jesus for dying on the cross for my sins. I've never accepted the Holy Spirit as my helper. And if you're here this afternoon and you say, but I want to make that decision this afternoon, I want to publicly declare it, that God is the creator of heaven and earth. Jesus is my Savior and the Holy Spirit my helper. And as all eyes are closed, I'm asking you, please raise your hand. If it is you this afternoon and God is speaking to you, that God has got an appointment with you this afternoon, that you've got to make that decision today, that you're going to start that relationship with God today, and I'm asking you to raise your hand. I'm going to ask you to come forward, Hassan. God is inviting us. In Isaiah 55 verses 6 it says, seek the Lord while he might be found. Call upon him when he is near. And if we read verses 1 to 13, God is inviting everyone into his promised blessings. And we shouldn't wait, because the opportunity can end any moment. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the reminder. Thank you that you're a Father, that you're waiting for us. That we can seek your face and your presence, Father. We give you all the glory and all the honor. Thank you that we can call you Father in Jesus' name. Amen. As we're standing here, I'm asking you to communicate with God. We've already done it. Marco has asked it. Yolandi's asked it. And I'm asking it again. Take a minute. Just speak to God. And if you know that you haven't been seeking his face lately and you haven't really been close to God for lately, then I'm asking you, bring it to God. Speak to him. Share it with him. He's your Father. He knows anyway what you're going to say. But share it with him. We're going to sing a few songs just now, and if it's for any reason that you would like to come forward for prayer, please come forward. If you feel this is what you want to bring to God, you would like to do it with somebody and pray who's praying along with you in agreement, please come forward that we can pray along with you. I'm asking the small group leaders to come forward that we can help them and that we can facilitate the people who are coming forward. And also, if you need any other prayers, if it's for healing, if it's something difficult that you've got for this week, anything like that, we're here to be along with you. But let's just take 1 minute and speak to God. He's waiting for us. Let's seek his face. Let's seek his presence. In Jesus' name.
Actually, before, or while we were worshiping, God put this on my heart, and then it was exactly what Darkin was speaking about. So I feel, yeah, God would just wants to me to share this testimony of what happened this week. 2 weeks ago, God really spoke to me about intercession, and that he wants me to use the time in the car to, you know, go to work and from work to really intercede for people. And I haven't been that diligent in doing that and busy with my own stuff. So I was like, okay, Lord, you want me to do this intentionally, so I have to really focus on doing this and not be distracted. And as I was obedient to that, it's like God was softening my heart for, just being obedient to Him and, praying for other people. And then last Sunday, or I think 2 weeks ago in intercession, God also showed me this picture in Revelation of the throne room and how He's holy. And when we come and worship Him, He's holy and we can't be familiar. And I think us as charismatics, we're like approaching God's throne with boldness, but also we're casual and familiar with God, which is wrong. And I was really convicted by that, and I was like, wow, okay, God, You're a holy God. And it was like God really dropped this in my spirit. And this week on Monday, I have a long distance relationship, so a lot of it happens on WhatsApps with, misunderstandings can happen. And we had like this little misunderstanding, but it wasn't something negative, it was just miscommunication. And I was really, I was struggling with it, and I was praying about it. And on Tuesday morning at 4 o'clock, I woke up, and then I was like, okay, it's 4 o'clock, and I'm going to sleep another hour. And usually I do get up and I do my quiet times for half an hour, and then I get ready for the day. But yeah, I really felt God say, but I actually wanted to get up at 4, and I didn't. So the next morning, I got up at 4, and I had this amazing quiet time with God, and I was like, I had an whole hour that I could really just soak in like what He wanted to tell me. And I could worship, and I felt also God said to me every morning, like, read a psalm as praise to me, and read the word and pray and journal. And then on I spoke again to my boyfriend, and it was so cool like how He worked in both our hearts. And it wasn't just about that, but then it's like God said to me on Thursday morning, get up at 4, and on Friday morning, get up at 4. And it was like, it's weird because I often struggle with being tired, and like if I don't get enough rest, but I had this amazing energy. It, like, I can't explain it, it's like God's presence. And like, I just want to encourage everybody, if you're struggling with stuff, if you have misunderstandings with people or relational issues, or in your work you're struggling, like, God wants to give you these answers and He wants to give you this peace. But it's like Urbanus also said 2 weeks ago, we can't just spend 15 minutes with God casually and expect God to change our lives. We really have to come to His throne with boldness, but like with a respect and an awe, and like, God, You are God. Like, how privileged are we to spend that time with You? And God will go before You and give You that energy. And yeah, I just want to testify of that. Like, I can really experience it, and it's exactly what You said. So yeah, thanks.
When Derek Jan started off his nice sermon, I got planted a psalm in my mind, which talks about entering God's presence. And especially after Eunice had this wonderful testimony, I think it's good for me just to speak it out, because it also speaks about how we enter into His presence and how He wants us to come to Him. So this is a Psalm 100. It's a song of praise for the Lord's faithfulness to His people. Psalm of thanksgiving. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into the gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. So have a little look at that, and consider that in seeking the Lord.
When Fulfilled on the cross.
stillness, I know that you are God. In the secret of your presence, I know there I am restored. When you call, I won't refuse. Each new day again, I'll choose. There is no thank you. face. Not all I am is yours. My whole life I place in your hands. God of mercy, humbled I bow down. In your presence at your
Father, we thank you, Lord, that we could be here today, Lord, and we just pray, Father, that as we leave this place, Lord, that we will have a constant reminder this week to seek your face, Lord, to seek your presence, Father God, to set aside the time where we can just be with you, Father. Just like these words say of this last song, Father, that we fall to our knees in worship, we give all we are to seek your face, Father. All we are is yours, Lord. We pray, Father, that you humble us, Lord, so that we can bow down in your presence, Lord. And Father, we are clay in your hands, Lord. Help us to be shaped. Help us to be transformed, Father God, in the times that we spend with you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that we can be part of your kingdom, Father. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.